The information discussed on this show is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. All content is for general informational purposes only.
It's Guy's Guy Radio. Here's your host, Robert Manny.
Welcome to Guy's Guy Radio. This is your host, Robert Manny, welcoming you to the show where men and women can be at their best and everyone wins. Guys, Guys Radio. We're here to inform you, inspire you, empower you, and get you to think, feel, and who knows, maybe even act by virtue of the journeys, stories, experiences, and insights of the guests I bring you each and every week to the show. Once again, this week is no exception. Today, we're going to talk about male cosmetic surgery with the amazing Dr. Claudia Kim from New York City. It's going to be a great show. Hey, you know, is looking younger about surgery or lifestyle? Dr. Claudia is going to discuss the newest advances in men's cosmetic medicine, common mistakes that men make, and how to age with confidence without looking worked on, all on this upcoming episode right here today on Guys Guys Radio. You know, male patients are no longer a niche audience in cosmetic surgery. According to a 2025 survey, 95% of facial plastic surgeons treated male patients last year, up from 92% in 2024. They also noted that many men increasingly view aesthetic treatments as a form of personal and professional maintenance, helping them look healthier, more rested, and more confident. So this trend intersects with several larger cultural conversations currently dominating social media and also men's wellness spaces, including Botox, looks maxing, male body image, and even the Kuvade syndrome, also known as sympathetic pregnancy, where some men experience weight gain and physical changes alongside with their pregnant partner. So today we're going to talk about that and a lot more on Guys Guys Radio with Dr. Claudia Kim, a well-known, renowned cosmetic surgeon located on Fifth Avenue in New York City. We're going to get to it on today's Guys Guys Radio.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, Guys Guys Radio, it is the interview portion of our show. And you know, for decades, cosmetic procedures were seen as something primarily for women. But that's changed dramatically. More men than ever, from executives and entrepreneurs to athletes and everyday guys and guys guys, are exploring treatments that help them look refreshed, youthful, and more confident without looking done. And today we're joined by renowned cosmetic surgeon, Dr. Claudia Kim, to separate fact from fiction, discuss the latest innovations, and explore why men's aesthetic medicine has become one of the fastest growing areas in cosmetic surgery. So welcome to Guys Guys Radio, Dr. Kim, coming to us from New York City, my hometown.
Thank you, Robert. I'm happy to be here and talk to your listeners.
Okay, let's get right into it. So cosmetic procedures for men have exploded in popularity. What's driving the shift and who is today's typical male patient?
So just to kind of give you some perspective, men now account for roughly about 10 to 15% of all cosmetic procedures that are performed in the US, and this number is growing. And I believe that there's an increasing competitive pressure in the professional and social realms, and staying youthful looking can be seen as advantageous in those realms. And we're also seeing what's called a permission shift. So like 10 to 15 years ago, there were a smaller amount of men that were doing aesthetic procedures, but it just wasn't talked about. Now, athletes, CEOs, celebrities, influencers, they're openly talking about Botox and hair restoration and skin treatments, and we're seeing the stigma starting to disappear. And my typical male patient that comes in for a consult, they come in, they don't come in saying, I want to look younger. They usually say, I want to look less tired, or I want to look as good as I feel. And they see it as maintenance and not vanity. And there's always this quote that I like to say, and it was said by Deion Sanders, a football player. And he says, if you look good, you play good. If you look good, you feel good. If you feel good, you play good. And if you play good, you get paid good. And I think that is so reflective of the male mindset now, is that your outward appearance has to look as good as you feel. And it's not really any different than going to the gym or whitening your teeth or getting a tailored suit. It's just another way of investing in yourself.
That's fantastic. So are men becoming more comfortable then talking openly about cosmetic work, or is there still a stigma attached with guys?
I think men are not 100% comfortable about discussing it as openly, but I think because of social media and the media itself, people are feeling more comfortable about going to ask about it or going to find out more information about it.
What are the typical male body ideals then? Let's start with the body.
Okay. So, I mean, I think we're going towards the shift of looking healthier and stronger. And so, fitness is really becoming a strong player in how men perceive themselves. So, I think in terms of body, it's, having a slimmer waist and having more musculature showing. And so, overall, just looking healthier and stronger.
Oh, well, let's take a step back then. So, what are the five, to give our some context for our audience, what are the five most requested cosmetic procedures for men today?
So if I were to rank them, I would say injectables like Botox and fillers are number one because it's easy to do. You come in during your lunch break and there's no really much downtime. The second surgery that
Let me interrupt. I'm sorry, my bad. But let's talk about that first. Let's go through each one and then get into it so the guys who are out there listening and also their partners listening say, okay, this is how it works. So the Botox and fillers, that's under the eyes. Is it in the cheeks? For guys, where do you usually, the forehead, wherever it's needed, and how often does the procedure have to be done and updated, et cetera?
Okay, so for an injectables 101 course, so Botox is a neuromodulator, meaning that it paralyzes muscle, which can present itself as wrinkles on the face. So you're paralyzing the muscle. Now, Botox is not a permanent procedure. There is a temporary effect of it. And on average, it'll last about 3 to 4 months, depending on the specific product. Now, fillers, they work a little bit differently. Fillers, they fill. And so we target that in areas that are lacking in volume. And it's most commonly for the males, it's the tired look, right? It's the hollowness or the bags under the eyes. For the wrinkles, most commonly it's the 11 lines where you have this permanent furrow that can potentially make one look unapproachable.
Okay, so for the guys then, I mean, for women, I get it, and I get it. And you want that smooth look. For the guys, sometimes you want a little bit of character left there. You don't want it to be too smooth. You don't want it to look with the guys that they've been worked on, because a lot of guys don't feel comfortable with themselves if they look in the mirror afterwards and said, oh my God, I'm too much of a pristine version of myself. How do you kind of balance that? I know you do a lot of work in terms of taking the time to really talk through all the details with your clients. So how do you manage that tricky process of getting the guys comfortable and what the results will be and their expectations?
So not every patient is the same. So each treatment plan has to be customized for the individual person, whether it be male or female. And if, the men don't want anyone to know, even though the stigma is becoming less and less, people just don't want to put it out there saying that, I do stuff to my face. And if their friends are noticing your Botox, somebody probably gave you a little bit too much. And really, the best compliment that one could get is, oh, you look great. Did you just come back from vacation or you look well rested? And that's my goal. So that's the reaction that they get, not, oh my God, what did you do? And absolutely, male patients tend to look for a more conservative look or more natural appearing, and they want the movement and character and be able to make the facial expressions. And they just want to look more refreshed, not like a different person.
And you say you can come in at lunchtime and do this, and then you would just do an update every couple of quarterly.
Couple of months.
Wow. And how the first time you get the results, and then the subsequent times you maintain what you did the first time?
Correct. Because we also have to think about our face is an organic matter, right? Once we do something, it's not permanent. We're constantly going through environmental exposures and aging and unfortunately degradation of the face and body. And so depending on where you are in your point in time in life, you may have a need for one thing versus later on, you need to address other things. And so it really is a customized treatment plan.
Now, do you find that for a lot of your clients, this is covered by insurance or it is not? I guess if you're in the performing arts or you're a media personality or whatever, you could probably get a write-off or some coverage on that. But for the regular, everyday layperson who just wants to look sharp at their job and not get aged out, they probably have to pay for that on their own. Do you get, I guess you don't get into that much of that, but you must hear
Yeah.
it.
I would this is purely cosmetic. There is some indication for using Botox for other issues such as like migraines or things like that where insurance will cover it. But if it's purely for aesthetic reasons, unfortunately, insurance does not cover it.
Okay, so that's number one. Number two, before I interrupted you, I just want to lay it out there because I think our audience would appreciate a one-on-one.
Okay. The second most common procedure that I get asked about is body contouring. And more recently, it's high definition liposuction or liposculpture. And because we are seeing this trend into becoming more fit and more stronger appearing, a lot of the times men are working out at the gym, but they can't get rid of those stubborn fatty areas, which is like the lower gut area and the love handles. And so they are looking for something to tune up those areas where it's reflective of the work that they're putting in at the gym. And with the high def liposculpture, you're actually accentuating the natural musculature so that you look like you have a six pack or you look like you have lats and chest definition.
Now, what's the procedure then? When you come in, is it it's a liposuction? They suck the fat out of targeted areas, and then what's the downtime and how often do you have to do it on a, I guess you, if you stay in shape, you probably don't have to do it again, but you t what's, give us an overview.
So, depending on the areas that are bothersome to you, you could do this under local anesthesia or you can be put to sleep under general anesthesia. So, if it's a small area, then it can easily be done. It could take about like 2 hours, a little bit uncomfortable in the initial numbing up process, but overall, very comfortable to do. Now, afterwards, you do feel sore because it is a surgery. So you feel some of that normal recovery, but you can pretty much go about your day within a few days or with go back to your normal life in a few days. Now, if it's something that's much bigger or more comprehensive, such as including the chest, gynecomastia is where there's enlargement of male breast tissue. If that is included, then your recovery is going to be a little bit longer. But a lot of these surgeries can be done in an ambulatory setting, meaning you come in for surgery and then after that, you go home. And so it really is, amazing where these are individuals that have gone to the gym for months and months, and all of a sudden, in one session, the love handles are gone.
Now, when you say they're the men's breasts, they want to augment them. To fill
Make
them
them
out, fill out
smaller.
their, make them smaller, right?
We do pectoral implants for males who do want more accentuation of the chest, right? To make it look more muscular. That's kind of similar to female breast implants. The implants itself are a little bit different, but it's the same concept. They want more definition or more volume to the chest. Now, gynecomastia is something a little bit different. That's when there is an abnormal growth of gland tissue that is making the male chest look more feminized, right? So man boobs. So in cases like that, we actually have to go in and liposuction the chest and also remove the gland. And we'll see this, it's very, very common in younger males during puberty. There's a hormonal imbalance where there's a lot more estrogen production than there is testosterone. And so that's usually the most common cause. The other group of individuals that I'm seeing is some kind of iatrogenic cause, meaning that some kind of drug or some kind of medical condition has caused the formation of gynecomastia. And one subgroup is for my males that are in competitive or in the body building community. They'll take these anabolic steroids to help with their muscle growth, but it can also stimulate their breast growth as well, which is not desired.
Okay, number three.
Number three, I think that is the gynecomastia surgery.
Okay.
I'll put that in a separate category as a body
Okay.
contouring.
Okay.
The number four, I would say, would be skin tightening procedures. And we are seeing this on the rise because of such massive weight loss being seen with the GLP and the GIP medications. And so that is something that a lot of males are seeking to deal with or to fix.
Okay, now with that in mind, what's your perspective professionally and then personally, just as a out, taking a look at it, witnessing what's going on with the GLP? So many people, I see people that I haven't seen, I'm like, you're way too skinny in my mind. I'm saying, like, what are you taking? And there's a lot of different things being talked about, and I'm sure it impacts your business because liposuction, I'm sure, in many ways has been replaced by the GLP. So as a professional, what's your take on the GLPs and what's happening out there? Too many people taking them, not enough. Microdosing is okay. What's your thoughts?
So for me personally, I am into fitness and nutrition, and I do enjoy working out because of the health benefits of it. Now, there is a role for in my opinion, for the GLP medications for individuals that are at a higher risk category for having comorbidities such as diabetes and high blood pressure and things like that. So I believe that there is definitely a role for these medications. That becomes a little bit blurrier when there's individuals that are taking it and they're already underweight, or they only have 5 or 10 pounds to lose, and you're using the medication to lose those 5, 10 pounds versus someone who is in the obese category and they need some assistance of even just losing some weight so they can get to the gym. So I think that population is definitely there's a role for it, and then it becomes a little bit blurrier. Now, the other issue with the GLP medications is that it has such a high reoccurrence rate, almost up to 80%, meaning that they come off the medication and they end up gaining the weight back. And when you study the individuals that are keeping the weight off, it's because they change their lifestyle while they're on the medications. And the other problems that we're seeing with the GLP meds is that a lot of people are in such a nutritional calorie deficit that they're losing muscle mass, and muscle mass is vital. Absolutely vital for longevity. And so when you're eating less calories, of course they're eating less protein. And so they're losing a lot of this muscle mass, and they're not changing up their lifestyle to be able to support the medications. And they can come and they can, be presented with other health conditions later on in life. So if you're doing it correctly and you're focusing on changing your daily activity and making sure that you are taking adequate nutrients, I think it's an absolute, it's another tool in our toolbox.
Okay, my special guest on Guys Guys Radio, the amazing Dr. Claudia Kim. Just so much information on male cosmetic surgery, and wow, you really know your stuff. So, let's just stay on that whole thing with the GLPs for a second, and we'll put GLPs aside. But this whole thing about body maxing and guys and women, because I've seen a couple of women online, and they're like, they have great bodies, and then all of a sudden, They're like, I reached my goal. I'm under 100 pounds now. And they look like sticks. And I've seen some of the celebrities like that. Like, what's going, is this, what's that, what's going on with that? Do you notice that with men also, with the body maxing and everything, where people are getting too focused on the looks, where they're not seeing things accurately? And they think there's always something wrong, and there's not something wrong. What's wrong is they're losing too much weight.
And I think it's the female population tends to be a little bit more vulnerable when it comes to that, just because I think social pressures for women have always been much more for females versus males. The pressures that males are experiencing, it is becoming more prevalent now. And because the whole attention towards, you know, products, beauty products and body image has always been focused towards women. And now for these men, these changes are happening overnight, and they're getting inundated with so much information. And so that is something that I'm kind of just curious to see how this evolves. But yes, there is even a terminology called Ozempic face, where when individuals have lost so much volume and so much weight very quickly. And so, you know, the guidelines to lose weight in a healthy manner is to lose like 1 to 2 pounds a week. And this is someone, you know, who is being conscious with their diet and being active. That is a good weight to be losing, is 1 to 2 pounds a week. But with the GLP medications, people are losing like 5 pounds a week, which is rapid weight loss, meaning that your body, your body tissues, it doesn't have the time to catch up with this volume loss. So that's where you'll see the gaunt in the face, where there's like sagging skin, and you look like you're 10 years older by losing 100 pounds. And so I think it is important to do it in a slow, controlled manner, and not just think about getting to the finish line as fast as possible.
Now, do you run into this type of individual? Do they come into your practice? I mean, you're on Fifth Avenue in New York. You get the best of the best, and you have people who are really, going for it. So do you have people come in and like you have to say, oh, hang on, let's have a conversation about this?
Yeah. And a lot of the times, you know, the patients will come after they've had the weight loss, because they're seeing the exaggerated wasting of the face or facial aging, or all the loose skin that's remnant of the fat that they've lost. So they're usually coming to me for tightening up the skin or body contouring after the weight has been lost, or for fillers and volumization and kind of addressing the heightened aging process.
Now, you have an interesting personal story. You got into the business because you were in a tough accident. Is that correct? Maybe it'll be inspirational and informational for people to know kind of your backstory a little bit, that I think that helps you be such a empathetic type of practitioner. From what I can tell, from what I've seen online and also our conversation now, you seem really sensitized and really want to help people.
Definitely, because my personal experience consists of I got into a car accident when I was 16. So I flew out of a front windshield, and I sustained a lot of facial trauma, and I had to go through rehab, and I saw several physicians to kind of tune me up. And so I definitely know what it feels like to not be reflective on the outside of who I am on the inside. So when I meet patients and when I talk to patients, I always try to remember how it felt to be on the opposite side. And especially when you're 16 and you're so vulnerable on body image, and you're already so insecure, and to have your face all ripped up and scarred up, it was devastating. And so I know how it feels like to be that vulnerable and that not reflective of who you are inside. So I always keep that in mind when I'm meeting patients.
And if you don't mind my asking, how long did it take you to heal? I mean, you have a perfect face. And I say that with all respect. You have great skin. Folks, check her out. If you want to have an advertisement for cosmetic procedures, check out Dr. Kim. And I say that with all respect. So how long, what was your process like? Just so if somebody out there has had a bad accident and they're wondering, is there anything that can be done? Obviously there is. You're a perfect living example.
So I would say it took a couple of years. The acute management was, probably the first 2 years of seeing my plastic surgeon and going to rehab, physical therapy, and all of that acupuncture stuff. And so that was probably for the first 2 years. And then it is just management. And this is also something that I wish patients would understand, is that prevention is so much easier than fixing something that has already gone. And so when it comes to having these scars, something so easy and so simple as wearing sunscreen is actually protecting your skin from further damage, which is the environment. And so I've always been very adamant about protecting my skin from environmental exposures to allow it to heal and to not let it get worse and let your body kind of regenerate itself.
You're a Korean American. My wife is Korean American. She was born in Seoul, so I've been over there. I know some things about the culture, but cosmetic surgery is much more normalized there than I think it is here. In fact, a lot of people go over there to have procedures done. I know my sister-in-law went over, had I think a facelift or something, but it's part of the culture in a way that it's not quite there yet here. Why do you think that is, and where is it going?
So we are seeing this very interesting phenomenon of these countries becoming very subspecialty specific. And Korea has always been known for having the top of the line aesthetic and facial products, right? You're seeing it in Sephora. And because the facial harmony and facial aesthetics has always been a very big part of the culture there. And you can see that they are spend billions and billions of dollars on just sun protection, right? If they've gone to the beach in Seoul, everyone has a little parasol. Some of them are like, the ski masks where they're wearing long sleeves because they understand that sun damage and sun exposure is one of the biggest preventable and also one of the worst causes of aging. And so that has been Korea's kind of focus is on the face itself. And that we're seeing countries such as, Turkey is
Right, with
getting
the
huge
hair,
on
right?
hair restoration. South America has always been very big on body procedures. The term BBL, the Brazilian butt lift, originated in Brazil. And so we are seeing these like subcategory and subspecialties becoming very popular in certain countries.
Is this partially driven by cost because things are very expensive in America? So people might go over to Korea or go to Turkey to have your hair. I've been to Turkey a couple of years ago. I didn't get my hair, but maybe I should have. But I didn't realize that that was a specialty there till I came home. But do you think it's driven by just the marketplace, or is it driven by cost,
So I
or
think
both?
medical tourism is being very strongly driven by economics. Even in the United States, there are certain states that are known for cheaper procedures, such as Florida. And there is this, shift towards because there's so many providers out there, right? In New York City, there's like 10 plastic surgeons on the span of one block. And so there is that competitiveness. And also for people who are looking for feeling more confident, but they just don't have the finances, to do it in the States or to do it in New York.
Now, so are there special states or places for men more than others, or is that becoming a subcategory?
I haven't seen any changes to that. I'm definitely seeing more men in my practice than I have even like 5 years ago. But I don't think they have a specific niche in a certain place. But places like Turkey, because of the hair restoration, I'm guessing there is a very large percentage of men that are going to Turkey.
Okay, now let's talk a little bit. Again, my special guest on Guys Radio, Dr. Claudia Kim, cosmetic surgeon specialty from New York City. We're talking about guys. And so, is there an age bracket where the men come in? I mean, you're in a high-end place in the city, but how young is too young, and how old is too old, in your professional opinion?
So I think the younger generation, they're coming in asking for prevention. I want to prevent wrinkling, or I want to prevent sagging of the skin. With that, I have to be a little bit cautious because, the problem with the younger generation coming in is that they can be very influential, and body image is also something that should be taken with caution when you're treating these patients. Now, if there is a functional aspect where they're seeking aesthetic medicine or aesthetic care. For example, masseter Botox is actually very popular in the younger generation, and you have the treatment for TMJ or the teeth grinding or the teeth clenching. And so that's a functional need for it. But one of the benefits, the aesthetic benefit of it, is that it can actually make your jawline appears slimmer or a little bit more angular. It gives you more definition because of the way that it acts on the muscle. So I do feel like that is probably one of the more popular things that the patients will come and ask for. And I have no reservations about doing it. But if a 20-year-old comes and says, I want a facelift, I mean, like, unless in very, very special cases, will I even entertain that? And that category is the individuals who lost such a significant amount of weight that they have all this extra skin. So special cases, I'll explore it. When it comes to the upper limit of whether you're too old or not, I don't think there's a cap on when you should feel confident about yourself. If you want to feel more confident at the age of 80 and you are a healthy individual with no medical problems and your primary doctor is on board, then let's do it.
Okay, now I'm a boomer, and like a lot of boomers, my wife says, "Get your neck done." I don't even notice it, but I'm sure you do as well as she does, and she's got a really good eye. Tell us about this procedure for men.
So for men, this would be a neck lift. And so the sagging that we see around the neck is a combination of loose skin, loose muscle, and fat. So a neck lift is addressing all of those factors, to give it a more youthful appearance to the neck and the face.
So how is that done? Is that you have to go under for that, I assume. What are the parameters with that? For because I'm sure a lot of boomer guys out there like considering that, or their wives want them to consider it.
Well, first of all, it's the individual's one. And I can't stress this enough. And sometimes my patients will come with their partner and they'll look at their partner and they'll be like, do I need this? And no, the decision is ultimately your decision. And if I feel like the partner is influencing the patient, I will have a separate private conversation with the patient just to make sure that this is something that they truly desire. Now, for the procedure itself, you can do it on local anesthesia, under local anesthesia, but it is a longer case. And so you have to consider, is this the right patient to be fully awake for potentially 3 to 5 hours? And maybe if they are more on the nervous side, or if they're a little bit more fidgety, or they have back pain and they can't sit in that or lay down in that position, then general anesthesia is definitely the way to go.
And then what's the recovery time?
So you actually look much scarier than you actually feel. I like to prepare the patients for the worst that could potentially happen so that when it actually happens, then it doesn't seem as bad. But it's quite minimal pain when it comes to the feeling of it afterwards. But for males, it gets a little bit trickier because of the incisions that are potentially visible, right? Females have the longer hair, so they can hide the incisions that go around the ear. But for males, that can be a little bit trickier. And so they need to understand that, depending on how the person heals, your scars may be visible, which may not be what they're looking for.
Now, how long do the scars typically last?
So I would say it takes
Asking
about
for a friend.
So depending on how you heal, and obviously your ethnic background too, and your complexion, right? Some people, they scar into like a pink line or a white line or even a dark brown line. And so depending on how that individual heals will determine how visible the scars are going to be.
And then how long do the scars last?
Forever. But
Oh,
if
okay.
you take good care of the scars and do the recommended scar management, then those scars will get lighter and lighter as the months come. And as the years go on, it should be almost not noticeable, depending on the person.
Okay, and the scars on the neck for the guys, are they vertical or is it under the chin?
It'll majority of the times under the chin, only when
Okay.
there's a significant amount of turkey neck, as my patients like to call it, is when there's a need for a vertical incision. But most often, no, you can do it with just a little incision under the chin and the incision around the ears.
And then, is there any curtailing of activities? And if so, for how long after doing that type of procedure?
So it depends on the surgeon. Some surgeons will say you can't exercise for 2 months. Some surgeons are a little bit more relaxed, some kind of in the middle. So I usually say no exercise for about 3 to 4 weeks and just kind of take it easy for that time period.
And can you fly afterwards?
Yes.
Okay. And a ballpark, not holding you to it. What is a procedure like that typically cost? Range, you can give me a range.
So a range in New York City can be anywhere between 15,000, and there are some surgeons that are quoting 350,000 for, certain celebrity folk. But there is a real wide range of the
Sure,
calling, the
sure.
cost for the procedure.
Okay. Now another one that I think, correct me if I'm wrong, it's popular with guys is the bags under the eyes, the eyelid that we is under the eyes more prevalent than over the eyes when you do eyelid procedures?
I would say they're fairly even in terms of the propensity to do both. I would say it's an even split. People just because the eyes are the windows to the soul, and if you have that hollowness or you have the sagging eyes, that automatically makes someone look tired. And so for the under eyes and the upper eyelids, they're called blepharoplasties, an upper blepharoplasty or a lower blepharoplasty. And an upper blepharoplasty is when you have extra skin and it starts to kind of hood over, and it starts encroaching on your vision. And a lower blepharoplasty is when the bags under the eyes start to kind of stick out and start to look hollow. So you go in, you take the fat out, and you do a little contouring.
And what usually causes that? What's the cause of the obviously age, but why does the fat or whatever accumulate under the eyes?
So aging is a big one, and the reason the mechanics behind it is that there's layers of skin and muscle that cover that little ball of fat. That ball of fat is supporting the eyeball, but as the curtain of tissues in front of it get weaker with time, the fat starts to push out through that little curtain. And the other group of individuals, there's a very strong genetic component. And so they'll say, I've always had bags, even when I was like 20 years old. My parents have it, my grandparents have it. And so those people can actually present with these eye bags early on in life.
What are Dr. Kim, what are some of the most prevalent mistakes that people make when they come in or they pick a procedure or whatever in the process? What are the mistakes that people make that are preventable, and how do you kind of guide them through the process so they don't make those mistakes?
I do pride myself on having a very comprehensive preparatory session with these patients. And I literally give them every single bad thing that can happen. I never sugarcoat anything because those complications are very serious to me. And so you should be aware of those complications as well so that you're making an informed decision. So I think when you prepare the patient adequately beforehand to for what they're supposed to do, what they're going to expect, then the recovery becomes much smoother so that there's no hiccups or things. One thing that I do notice is that with males is that they cannot sit still. And a lot of the times, you tell them for 48 hours, just relax, don't do anything. And they just have so much trouble staying still. And so then they'll come back with, let's say, bleeding, or they'll come back with a wound opening. And so I think, I've learned to accept this. And no matter how much I drill the male patients to just stay put, they're still going to end up, not following directions.
Now, how important is it to really understand different cultures? You're in New York, which is a melting pot, but when I went over to Korea, the facial work that's being done on the young guys was amazing, where they're like beautiful. But I don't know if that look works here for the typical American male, Caucasian, or whatever, now, or African American, or whatever. It's when you, how do you factor in and manage the different cultures and the aesthetics when you're doing your work, particularly in New York, because it's a melting pot where some places, oh yeah, big nose is good, and other places, no, got to take that nose down.
I mean, I love New York. You
Yeah.
literally in the span of like 2 blocks, you'll get like 70 different languages and
Right,
cultures,
exactly.
and I just absolutely love being a New Yorker. But with that, you have to understand the subtle differences, right? The cultural differences, the religious differences, because what one group desires or one group perceives as an ideal body type or an ideal look is not going to be reflective in a different culture. So, and there's also anatomical differences. So just to kind of give you an example, ethnic noses, they or ethnic skin tends to
Right.
be a little bit thicker versus, Caucasian skin. And so you need to really understand these anatomical differences to be able to tailor the treatment plan specifically for that person and also respect their cultural and their social norms.
And then do you find that sometimes people in specific cultures, they want to look like people in other cultures? They want to just blend in so they're not embracing their culture as much, but they want to get away from it in terms of how they look.
I do see some patients that come in and then they'll have a picture from social media and they'll be like, oh, can you make me like look like this person? And this person is a very different individual. And so I think a lot of counseling has to go into that to make them understand that, you cannot be a different person. You should try or aim to look as the best version of yourself and to try to accentuate what makes you uniquely you instead of trying to assimilate to a cookie cutter version of what you think the ideal face or ideal body is.
Now, Dr. Kim, do you work with women as well as men? Because I know
Yes.
our conversations today is mostly about men. So what are the differences when you're working with men versus working with women, and who do you prefer?
Good question. I do prefer men more, and I think it's because they ask less questions. If women, go to their husband's like primary care appointment, they have like question after question and question, where the husband's like, I didn't even bother to ask these questions. And so it tends to be a lot more, but that doesn't mean that I'm not as comprehensive for men. But it's just that women come prepared with questions versus for men, I kind of have to like drag it out of them to try to see like, hey, do you have any other questions? Are you concerned about this? Or are you curious about this? And so that tends to be one of the bigger the differences between males and women, males and females. Other things I would say is that males are usually kind of like one and done, where they had this issue that's been bothering them, and then once they have it addressed, they go about their way and live their life happily. But for women, once I do their injectables, they're interested in maybe addressing their breasts or their stomach. And then after that, I have a lot of repeat patients where they're very happy with the results. And now they're like, oh, now this bothers me. Like, what can I do for this? So I do see more repeaters in the female population.
Okay, final question. Dr. Claudia Kim, cosmetic surgeon from New York City. And wow, you are terrific. You're really informative. What should people know? What should the dudes out there, what should the guys know about the process before they come to see you? What should they be asking themselves before they go in?
I would say, you don't have to necessarily come as prepared because if you're not sure of what you need, that's where the consultation can help you kind of address what you're seeing and the options that are out there. But a big thing is just make sure you're going to a reputable provider, right? There is so much information out there. And like I said, social media is a double-edged sword. You have so much education out there, but it's hard to decipher whether if it's coming from a place of research and truth and evidence-based medicine versus just, someone who is just saying things with no background or any kind of authority to say so. So I would say just make sure that when you are seeking out aesthetic medicine or just even medicine in general, is to find a reputable person that is certified and that is willing to customize your treatment plan for yourself to make sure that you get the best outcome in the safest manner possible.
Absolutely amazing. So, Dr. Kim, you've helped us understand the cosmetic medicine today isn't about vanity. It's about confidence, health, and putting your best face forward, no pun intended, while still looking like yourself. Thanks for sharing your expertise and giving our listeners practical guidance for making informed decisions. For everyone listening, remember that aging is inevitable, but how we age is influenced by the choices we make. Stay healthy, stay curious, be your best guy's guy. So tell us, Dr. Kim, where they can find you, where's your practice, what's the name of it, et cetera.
So my practice is called New Look, New Life. We are located on 45th and 5th Avenue in Manhattan, New York. You can find out more information from our website, newlooknewlife.com.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for being on Guys Guys Radio. You're really informative.
And thank you for having me. This was a blast.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, what a wonderful and insightful conversation with Dr. Claudia Kim about the options and opportunities in male cosmetic surgery. And there are a lot. I think we touched on the most popular, and they included Botox, fillers, skin tightening. Most of those are going to be on your face, obviously, liposuction on the abdomen, and abdominal contouring. But there's a lot more. Obviously, you can do your hair, you can do your neck, you can do calves, you can do calf implants, whatever. But there's a lot of options. And as we discussed, if it's cosmetic, it's probably coming out of your pocket. I'm not sure if your coverage is going to cover something like that. I guess every situation is different and individual, but you'll have to do the research on your own. But it's becoming more and more acceptable. Just know that if you're going to do something like fillers or Botox, you probably have to keep up with it. And the same thing with the GLP drugs. You got to keep up with it to continue to get the results you're looking for. So again, it's your body. It's your choice. Just know what you're signing up for before you get involved. And I think working with a surgeon like Dr. Kim is something you want to do. You want to, as she said, seek out the best and have conversations and listen and consider what your objectives and goals are, and just don't go into these things, excuse me, willy-nilly, because they're for real and you're talking about your face and body, and you get one of those. Now, again, here on Guys Guys Radio, I'm not a doctor. I'm not recommending things one way or the other. Talk to your physician. We heard from Dr. Claudia's professional perspective on some of these things and some of these issues. So, you know, she's a pro. I'm not. I'm just bringing you the information for you to consider. And that's what we do here on Guys Guys Radio. We bring on experts. They give their opinion. You decide what's best for you. And I think we got a lot of great information today from Dr. Claudia Kim about men's cosmetic surgery. So make your decisions carefully, fellas. Okay, thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of Guys Guys Radio on UK Health Radio. We're back next week with another great show. And until then, like I always say, guys, finish first.